The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Chantel Grove of Carroll Broadcasting. Chantel, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
One of the things that's hitting the headlines right now is that late last month, President Biden said he had reached an agreement with the senators on a bipartisan bill for infrastructure that was roughly around $1.2 million for that plan. Seems like he's backtracking a bit now, getting pressure from several liberal senators who are vowing to oppose it if it doesn't include their what they want as far as investments in climate change, education, child and elder care, health care, and electric vehicle adoption. But this could drive that cost up to as high as $6 trillion. And yesterday we heard from GOP leader Mitch McConnell saying they're going to have a hell of a fight on their hands, I believe was his quote. What is your stance on these latest developments, and what can Republicans do to get the Biden administration to hold to that initial agreement?
Yeah. Well, I agree with Senator McConnell, but maybe for a different reason, because I see a big increase in inflation that scares me, because I first went to Congress when inflation was 12, 13, 14%, and I don't want to go through that again. And spending $6 trillion, of which already $1.9 trillion has already been appropriated and signed by the president, would throw gasoline on the inflation fires. And and I would back up what I'm saying, because Larry Summers, the Harvard professor of economics, who was Secretary of Treasury for President Clinton, has said the same thing back in January and again in April to remind people that we shouldn't be spending this kind of money. Now, when it comes to infrastructure spending, that's a little bit different, because you build a highway today and you ride that highway for 40 years before you tear it up and lay it down again. It's not like the $400 billion that the president wants to spend on Medicaid. That's going to be repeated every day forever, and that's entirely different. So if we can get the infrastructure bill separated from all this other stuff, I think there's a good chance that we could get an infrastructure bill. The problem isn't the bipartisan group of people that put it together. The problem is that a week ago, the president held a news conference with the bipartisan group saying he would sign it, and the next day he said he wouldn't sign it unless there was another $2 trillion bill that arrived at his desk at the same time. So he was feeling the heat from these very progressive people in his political party. So the problem is, between Biden and Schumer and Pelosi, are they going to move the infrastructure bill by itself and listen to the bipartisan agreement and do something in a bipartisan way? Or are they going to listen to the partisans in their political party and have the both bills go to the president at the same time? If that's the case, it's not going to get 60 votes in the United States Senate to move it.
Now, do you believe they're including things that really don't involve infrastructure, such as education and child and elder and health care, things like that, because they don't believe they'll be able to pass those without the structure of the infrastructure bill around it?
Yeah, that's their worry, yes.
It is. Okay. Well, thank you for that. At the end of June, you also penned a letter with five other senators to President Biden about his campaign promises to support the renewable fuel standard, the year-round sale of E15, and the advancement in research into biofuels. Now, last Friday, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed the previous approval that was already given for E15 blend sales. What can the legislature do to either reverse that ruling or to find alternative income sources for the farmers and biofuels producers in our state that are suffering from this mandate?
Well, first of all, there is some money in one of the bills that Congress passed either just before Christmas or in early March, there is some money to help the biofuels industry in there. Now, that money was meant to pick up from some slack because ethanol refineries were shut down because of the pandemic. That doesn't answer your question for the recent Supreme Court and D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals opinion. And yes, Congress could pass legislation that would completely override the Supreme Court and D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals opinion, but I think it's going to be very difficult to do. And so that's all. There's two other avenues besides Congress Avenue. One is to appeal the decisions to higher up in the judicial system. The other one is for whatever leeway the president and the EPA director has in the renewable fuel standard to correct the Supreme Court decision and the D.C. Circuit Court of Opinion. I want Iowans to know that I'll always fight for ethanol, and that letter was just part of that fight.
And as far as the RFS and the belief that he'll be granting a lot more waivers in the coming days, what are your thoughts on that? Do you believe that he's going to be supporting big oil, even in the light of his green energy plans?
I don't think this director will, but he'll have to abide by the court decisions. But I think that this director of EPA, Mr. Regan, will be a little more cautious if he has to grant waivers and won't do it in the massive scale that two EPA directors did under Trump. And that was contrary to what Trump wanted. Trump was very much for ethanol, but he seemed to end up with two EPA directors that were obviously had opposite opinions.
Have you been hearing anything from your constituents as far as this kind of backtracking on campaign promises that was made to get votes?
Well, so far, I can't say that Biden has backtracked on any of those promises yet. It'll depend on how he reacts to our letters and what lawyers tell him he can do under existing law for me to make that accusation. If your question is in regard to Trump, I didn't have any question in my mind about Trump's support for ethanol, but he did have a couple directors of EPA that didn't carry out his wishes all the time. Or if they did, if they'd say it's not correct for me to say they didn't carry out his orders, they did everything they could to muddy the water.
Okay. All right. Well, and I'm going to ask you a question. It's actually a House resolution. It's number 57. It was introduced in January, calling for the impeachment of President Biden based on abuse of power while he was vice president. And part of that was allowing his son, Hunter Biden, to influence domestic policy in exchange for favors and benefits. That's really kind of stalled out. It looks like it's now sitting in the Subcommittee for Constitution, Civil Rights, and Civil Liberties. My question to you is, first of all, the seriousness of the allegations and whether or not you believe that this impeachment will move forward.
No, the impeachment won't move forward. And there's no doubt about what we get off of the laptop of Hunter Biden, that he was making a lot of business decisions based upon either the office of Vice President Biden or the name of Biden after Biden was Vice President. He used every angle he could to profit himself, and the question is, to what extent did President Biden benefit from that, either as a private citizen or when he was Vice President of the United States? Those questions are unanswered at this point.
Why do you believe that there has been so little media coverage of this topic versus the type of coverage that was given when Donald Trump was president?
Yeah. Because of the liberal leaning of journalists and TV people and just pursuing political goals rather than getting the truth out.
What will it take to get that truth out and to get, you know, the attention that this deserves?
Just after all the years of dealing with it, it's very, very difficult. So you try everything you can through social media, through friends that have a different point of view within the media and the cable television and things of that nature. Just keep talking. Eventually, the truth's going to prevail. In a democracy like ours, nothing can be covered up forever.
All right. And have you set a date for the announcement of whether or not you're going to run again?
Yeah, sometime between Labor Day and November the 1st.
You're not backing down on that one, are you? Well, will we be the first to know? Will the media be the first to know?
Well, I don't. That depends on it depends on whether I decide to call one person up and say you got a corner on this information, or whether I decide to do it on Twitter, or whether I decide to hold a news conference.
Send out a mass press release.
Yeah,
massive press release. Well, I thank you so much for your time today. I hope you'll be back in our area soon.
Yeah, thanks for covering us in Breda. And thank God that you got 3 inches of rain. Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chantel, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.